thank you so much for joining us here in the third hour of the Morning Tailgate here on Raider Nation Radio. It's Lindsey Brown and Vinny Bonsignor and Clay Baker in the Findlay Cadillac Performance Studios. 69187, that's our text line. Use the keywords R&R, brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. And don't forget, 9:30, we'll give you a chance to win $400 for the weekly Pro Pick'em Contest. Chris Thomas joins us now, Super Bowl champion, sports life coach, performance development mentor. He's here with us on Fridays at this time, and we absolutely love it when you come on, Chris. Thank you for doing so. Good morning to you.
How's it, my Vegas family?
Was oh,
excellent,
back. Man.
Welcome back. We're
a little
excited.
Chilly. It's a little chilly.
Is it? Is it chilly where you're at, Chris? What's the temp at? Where?
Wait. Where are you in Newberry? I'm gonna guess.
Chilly takes on a different definition out here in California, but it's like 56 degrees. But it's amazingly beautiful out here this morning for sure.
Chris and I, by the way, grew up in the same city.
Oh, of course. No wonder.
Yes.
No wonder.
Ventura, California. Hey, honestly, Chris, I'm not over touting Ventura as just a great place, right?
It was a great place to grow up. Huge transition for me from where I came from, but I moved there at age 11, and you had everything. I mean, when I went to college, it was a punch in the gut when I was like, this is not Ventura. But no, we grew up in a really good place. So, yeah, Ventura is definitely not Sin City. Let's put it that way.
No.
Oh, certainly not, Chris. Really excited to have you on another week. And one of my favorite jokes that kind of irks Vinny a bit is that the male ego is undefeated, because if you look at our society and our history, it seems like we're all riding passenger seat to some dudes who wish the world to be or work a certain way. And it is often made so at any expense. And this joke triggers a lot when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, who's pushing hard to return this season after blowing out his Achilles earlier. My read is that his goal and his pursuit is kind of rooted maybe in a little bit of an overconfident ego space, where so many quarterbacks have to live to successfully perform being the man with a plan and answer. So what's your read on Aaron's situation? Is this a level of self-belief, something to be lionized or viewed as more of a cautionary tale?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I definitely think you're on it when you talk about there's a little bit of ego there, but I think it's more wanting to prove that even at his age, you can suffer something catastrophic and you can still come back from it. Not only come back from it, but come back in an absurdly short period of time by comparison. So I think part of it is that, and I honestly think a big part of his drive, if you just kind of look at his history after joining the Jets and everything he said and the excitement he had around the team, I honestly feel as though he was genuinely so excited about the prospect of that team that I would imagine some of it, and this could be the ego that I think plays a pretty significant role, I think he truly felt like he was a missing piece. Mm. And if you look at it right now, I mean, you couldn't argue that point.
Exactly.
They certainly are underachieving, to say the least, given the talent that they have. So I honestly think there's something in him that thinks, I can still save this season if I can just get back in time. Now, you know, you have to be cautious with that, because coming back from an injury of that nature, if you come back too soon, prematurely, I mean, you're just subjecting yourself to getting hurt all over again.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, my daughter tore ACL during the COVID year. Mm. And I remember, you know, this post-ACL surgery program that her doctor gave her, it said that after month six, for every month you wait to return, you reduce your chances of tearing your ACL again by 50%.
Wow.
And it's huge, right? So, like, I remember considering a therapist or a rehab facility where the guy's like, listen, you know, our goal is to get her back as fast as you can. And I walked away, and I'm like, I'm not coming here, because that wasn't my goal. My goal was to make sure that when she came back, she didn't have to have that fear that she might tear her ACL again. So, yeah, I mean, he just got to be careful, but I totally admire what he's trying to do. It's amazing he's even doing what he's doing right now after 11 weeks. But, you know, we'll see if that actually ends up with him, you know, playing any role at the end of the season.
Yeah, let's stay right there, because I also feel like what gets sometimes overlooked, especially when there's a massive amount of money here that the Jets are paying Aaron Rodgers, is sometimes the level of responsibility that athletes feel, because they know that they're getting that money, and they know, and you said that he feels like he's the missing piece. Well, and it's inarguably he is. And it's been a massive letdown for the Jets when he got hurt because it's led to where they are right now. And I would imagine that he feels a sense of, you know, disappointment that he didn't live, hasn't lived up to that contract. And maybe if there's time and whatever, you know, the gods are looking at his Achilles and saying, hey, you could go out there for a couple of games this year, that he feels a sense of responsibility. I don't necessarily think that's a negative. And I sometimes think when we look at people like Aaron Rodgers, it's always in a negative lens with the ego, when I think the ego is can also be looked at as a positive.
I think the ego definitely can be a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the ego is a really good thing when it takes into consideration other people, mm-hmm. right? And like what you want to give back to them or what you want to give to them. I think in that regard, it can be a good thing because, you know, think about life. I mean, I wouldn't say that there's an ego necessarily in falling in love with who you are, but the second you stop worrying about what other people think of you, that to me means that you have reached a point where you envy nothing, you are jealous of nothing. You believe you have everything you need to be a contributor to this world, and now you want to give. So once I reach that point, I know I can make this amazing contribution. So I'm excited and eager to do that. So I guess you could say there's some level of ego there, but I think the ego can be a really good thing. Again, I think in his case, I think, you know, he probably believes that if he had not gotten hurt, that they would be in contention right now as one of the best teams in the AFC. I think that's probably his motivation more than anything else is that he just wants to get back on the field and prove that he is what they paid him to be. And I don't even know if he necessarily thinks about the money. I think when you make that much money, you've made as much money as he has. I think, you know, he probably honestly doesn't even think about the money. I mean, there's certainly some people who sign big contracts. I won't get into names, but I'm an Angels fan for baseball, and we've had plenty of big contracts where guys don't end up performing. For whatever reason, either they get hurt and they miss tons of games or they just underperform, you know, they probably think about the money, you know what I mean, because they're not actually earning it. But I think in Aaron's case, he's made so much of it that I think more than anything, he's just all about, I believe that I'm the difference maker for this team, and I want to do whatever I can do in the short period of time I have left to play this game to prove that I can make a contribution to a potential Super Bowl winning team.
It's Chris Thomas here with us, Super Bowl champion, as well as sports life coach and performance development mentor. You can text him, and he can supply some links for you. There's an online course coming up very soon. Text the number 805-663-8483, and we'll give that number out again as Chris Thomas providing valuable information. If you are a parent of a student athlete, or if you're looking to get your life on track, think about this, 805-663-8483. You know, the way the Raiders have played the last 2 weeks, you know, it made me think about how the Dolphins and Chiefs games were so close against two of the AFC prime teams, and this Raiders team still trying to figure out who they are. I wondered if it would be kind of comparable to what you went through in Washington in 98, where, you know, that season you guys ran off a string of big wins against great teams, but you fell short because the season was kind of lost, but it propelled you, it seemed, for the 99 season, because that team went to the playoffs. What was the mindset back then when you started to be on a team that realized that they started to realize themselves how good they really are?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're taking me back a little bit, Clay, but yeah, I mean, we started out, if I remember right, 0-6 or 0-7.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it's a really uncomfortable feeling walking into a building when you're 0-6 or 0-7, because inevitably the organizations thinking what's wrong, and so they're looking for, you know, people that are part of the problem and trying to figure out what the solution is. So I remember it being a very uncomfortable thing even going to practice, and I don't know if I'd have to really spend some time thinking about this, but I want to say that one of the real turning points was when Trent Green came in at quarterback. And nothing against Gus Frerotte, he was a great leader and he was a great guy, but when Trent Green came in at quarterback, there was just a shot of energy.
Really?
Because he was getting his chance to play for the first time. And, you know, when he came in, I don't really know what happened, but we just started turning things around. And I don't know. I think people need to understand. I don't think there's ever a time when I've been on a team in my 8 years playing, 9 years attempting to play, where I felt that guys didn't care about winning. I mean, that's why you're there. I mean, to Lindsey's point, there is ego there to some extent, where it's like you definitely don't want to be the doormat to other teams every week that you play football on Sundays. So there's a lot of ego there in terms of believing your team's the best team and you're capable of, you know, winning a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that guys didn't necessarily try to their hardest or attempt to play their best. I think that it literally, you just said it. You can look at the last couple weeks. If you really broke down the games, there's not that much between a few plays here and there between winning and having lost, right? And so if you start changing those little things, then all of a sudden the end result is different. And I think that's where the bye week is kind of valuable. You get a chance to get guys healthy, and then you get a chance to kind of figure out what do we need to do better and different. But for us, it was just, I think it was Trent, a shot of energy. Guys just, you get a little momentum and you can ride that wave, a long way. And, I know we weren't going to make the playoffs. But ironically, we actually had a chance if we had, three things happen in our favor the last game of the year.
Cool.
But we got a chance to ruin, seasons for other teams. And if nothing else, that felt really good.
Yeah, I love playing spoiler. Clay, you were feeling those vibes last year. The Lions beat Green Bay to keep them out of the playoffs.
Never
we gets all
old.
Love it. The Schadenfreude is a strong energy for a lot of us, especially those that hail from the Midwest. But earlier this week, Chris, we conducted an exercise where we named individuals to what I call the Commitment to Excellence Committee. These are people that are entrusted into getting to know and identifying candidates for the open leadership positions within the Raiders organization. I originally wanted to ask you, what qualities make a good leader in your experience, but now I think about it, most things, or at least when you're trying to get the answers that you seek, it's sometimes asking a different question. So I'm not going to ask you about what makes a good leader, but what doesn't make a good leader? Should they be looking for indicators of poor leadership first, of things that trip you up, that you're just, they have this and this, but if they show this, then I don't really trust them?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you have to look, or if you don't appear to be someone who loves what you're doing, you're definitely excluding yourself from any leadership role, because you have to love what it is that you're doing. Because with that love comes a certain level of energy, right? And that energy shows up the most when other people show up the least. Mm-hmm. And so you're very aware. I think there's an awareness, this lack of awareness of what you're there for, this lack of awareness that you have a chance to influence not just, your position, but the team, the culture. That lack of awareness excludes you from being someone who they would consider a leader. I think if you're not someone who loves challenging your threshold and loves pushing the envelope every day that you're out there, you're excluding yourself from becoming a leader. I think if you're someone who does not interact with people in a respectful way, meaning your peers, you're someone who is going to exclude yourself from the leadership, role. So I think those right there are incredibly important qualities that, not everyone has. And, you can be a quiet leader, but you have to be an aware leader. When I say quiet, I mean, not everyone is the most boisterous person in the world. But I think that you have to have an energy that people can feel, and then they can read, and then they can interpret. And they can interpret that to me like, this guy we need to follow, because there's something about him that, makes me want to give more. And that's the other thing. If you're not someone who can inspire people to give more, tough to be a leader. So I would say that those are really important qualities if you're going to be in a leadership position.
Chris, there was an incident on Saturday night, the night before the Raiders game against the Kansas City Chiefs, where one of the Raiders players got arrested. He was pulled over for speeding. There were some other things that went down. Ultimately, he was arrested, missed the game on Saturday, and was subsequently cut. It got me to thinking, because I know a lot of people on Twitter were, hitting me up like, where are the veterans, making sure that the younger players, stay in line or do the right thing. And it got me to thinking how much that actually does happen in an NFL locker room in terms of how much self-policing is there, how much influence do players have, how much comfort level is there in players talking to each other about those types of things, about doing the right thing on the field, or is that overplayed? Because it is, you're talking about men, adults, and I don't tell, Lindsay and Clay what to do when they leave here, right?
Tell me what movies I should watch.
I do that. But you know what I'm saying? When you leave work at the end of it every day, I don't know that I've ever told any of my coworkers, hey, what to do or how to behave after they leave work. How much of that is actually going on in the NFL, or how much of it is, guys just kind of mind their own business and let fellow adults act the way they want to act?
Yeah, I would say, let's just put it in context. I don't think anyone's telling you know, other adults and professionals what to do with Sony or Nike or Adidas or anything like that, right, when you go to work. So just because we're playing a game doesn't necessarily mean that you have some obligation to oversee what other people are doing. And you kind of said it, BB. I mean, they're adults. There has to be some level of personal accountability and awareness. I said that word earlier. That is, I could talk an hour just on the word of awareness, but you're getting a chance to fulfill a childhood dream. And with that comes a level of responsibility and awareness. And the awareness is, what is at stake? I mean, it's a game and you want it to always feel like a game. But on the flip side of that, it's a business. People have invested in you, right? And like that investment needs to, you know, reap some sort of, you know, payback, right? What is my return on my investment? And the worst part about not understanding that you have, you know, an obligation to be accountable to that investment is that you force people's hands, you know, and especially, you know, what happened a couple of years ago with Ruggs and everything there, you know, this is certainly nothing that they would ever take lightly, but I'm hurt for the guy because it's like you've arrived at a point where you've achieved fulfilling a dream and you're not capable of standing back and going, you know, I need to make really professional adult decisions and know where to draw a line so that I don't risk losing this dream. I don't risk losing the chance to make an exorbitant amount of money in a very short period of time that could change, you know, my life and generations to come. And that is not one of your teammates' obligations. Now, certainly you could have people that you're really close to on teams. I did on every team I played on. And if you saw one of those friends getting tripped up or making, you know, suspect decisions, then yeah, I mean, as a friend, not necessarily as like a coworker, but as a friend, you'd be like, bro, you know, what's going on right now? I mean, do you understand what you're about to compromise? You got to, you know, pump the brakes and you got to really take a look at what you're about to lose. So that, I would say that comes more from a friend perspective as opposed to a coworker or a leader, because that's not your job. These guys are grown men, and if you can't make the right decisions, do you necessarily deserve to be there? That's what I would ask.
Well, Chris, I want to loop back a little bit to the ego because I'm trying to keep mine in check because I have a question that I wrote last week that stemmed from our ongoing conversation about failure. And it's a little bit more drawn out from that because it's about the linguistic power dynamic and unraveling emotionality from words and having that conscious power to strip away the power of words and what they paint us with drink. Because, you know, society teaches and punishes certain labels like failure in certain ways. But I can rob those words of the emotional effect and redefine that. I mean, we see this when certain communities reclaim slurs and everything, but is it egotistical to believe that I can train myself to be unaffected by those societal definitions and therefore invisible to the pressure constraints that and the definitions that they wield?
Absolutely not. It is not egotistical at all. It's you taking your power back.
Right.
Right? But that's, you have the ability to take the power back, but I would say this, that in taking the power back, what I've chosen to do is eliminate a word that you convinced me was supposed to be in my vocabulary. So, like, that would be me taking the power back. Like, I'm not going to tell you that my world is supposed to be a two-dimensional world based on success and failure. I don't subscribe to that, right? Like, so I'm eliminating that word from my vocabulary, even if I felt like I could overcome that word. I just don't see any value in it existing in my life anymore because I don't believe it's a true definition of what happens when I don't necessarily experience the, you know, exact desired endpoint. Mm-hmm. And kind of when you talk about fear of failure, you know, I was listening a little bit and I had just great kind of thought when, yeah, you think about fear and, you know, we talked about fear can be a good thing sometimes and 100% that's true, right? I'm walking down the street and there's a dark alley and I hear some suspect stuff going on. I'm not going to take like that shortcut to go to my house, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, that dark alley looks a little bit suspect. So my instincts go, I should be a little fearful of what potentially could transpire if I do that. You know, I'm walking down the street and I hear a rattlesnake, you know, sound in the bushes. I'm going, okay, that right there could send me to the hospital. I could lose whatever. Like, fear comes into play where I start thinking about the consequence if I don't acknowledge this fear and do something to address it. So in that regard, fear is a good thing. But when you think about sports, fear is not a good thing because in the context I just expressed it, your fear is making you aware of protecting you from something that could potentially be dangerous. But when you think about sports, the thing we fear is failing. And when you think about what failing actually is for most people, it's making mistakes or giving up a goal or missing a shot or something. It's like dropping a ball, something like that, that is, you know, a natural thing to happen for people who are imperfect, doing imperfect things. So what does that fear protect you from? Like, it's not protecting you from anything, because you're not avoiding the fact that you're imperfect and those imperfect moments are going to happen. So it offers you no value because there is no protection from anything. And the thing that it's, you know, trying to protect you from is failing. Well, making mistakes is not failing. So this goes back to the word of failure, you know, and why I choose to eliminate it, because it's not even a real reflection of what's happening when I don't exactly get what I want. All I'm simply doing is falling short. So that's kind of what my thought would be when it comes to the idea of failure and that word in our vocabulary. And you're 100% right, Lindsay. Yes, we have the power, totally, once you realize it, to take that word back and do what we want with it. But why even keep it? You know, and I've never liked the fact that we take, you know, words in my culture, like, you know, the N-word and stuff like that. I don't like the fact that, you know, we try to turn it around and use it in a positive way. I mean, I get it. You know, I'm African-American, so I get it. But there's a rich history there. And no matter how you use that word, I mean, I think of it and I think about what other people must think about us as African-Americans and we use that word who are from other cultures. And they must think, like, why are they denigrating themselves? Like, why would you use a word that people use to, you know, demean you, to put you beneath them? Why would you use that word and try to, you know, frame it in a way that it's positive? Because no matter what, we still look at you or use that word in a way that's negative. So, like, for me, that's how I look at that. And I don't like the idea of trying to turn a negative word, a word that's been used derogatively in a way that can be used positively. Like, I would rather just eliminate it. So that's kind of my thoughts.
It's fascinating stuff, Chris. We absolutely love having you on. And for people that want to get in touch with Chris, go ahead and text him, 805-663-8483, 805-663-8483. He'll hook you up with some links of what he's been up to, and he's getting ready to do an online course, which is something that I think we're all very, very excited about, to go find a little more and get deeper into what you've been able to teach us in just this short amount of time, because we always come away with this interview with a lot of good things that help us in our everyday.
So many more questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
stop using the word failure.
Well, I really love it, Chris, because
we argued about this. It was a verb or a noun.
Right.
It's
correct.
A verb. Failing is a verb. It's not your, but that doesn't make you.
You said it was a noun. I said it was a verb.
No,
Chris, help
failing,
him.
Failing is a verb.
Right, but I like
failure is a noun, and you're not a failure because you sometimes fail.
But now I'm stuck in between that thought now that you've elicited for me, Chris, about perpetuating that, and even though you've rebranded it, that's still a perpetuation of that. But then if we just completely divert away from that energy, then is it avoidance? Right? There's always like little things, and maybe that's just I typically go with more black and white thinking. And so I'm just trying to challenge that and get into the nuance of this, because that's what you do to my brain, and I appreciate you.
Yep, exactly.
Well, and I would say this, it's not avoidance, it's elimination. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like people who are toxic in your life. Are you, when you choose not to have them in your life, are you avoiding them or are you eliminating them?
Damn, Chris, you just got.
You know what I mean? You just.
He just flipped the card.
God,
he just
dang
put.
It,
he,
I gotta
he
take
just,
my glasses off. You're so wrong.
You know what I mean? You're like, you don't have any place in my life. You offer no.
It's just a waste of time and energy. You're right.
You know what I mean?
You should see Lindsay right now. It was an epiphany.
Avoidance versus elimination.
Thank you for the reframe.
I mean, mind blown.
I'm eliminating you because you have no value. You offer me no value. It's like somebody's barking at me. Like, if you're barking at me, like, I can choose to just turn off the volume. Like, it means nothing to me. And the more you bark, the less I respect what you have to say, until I reach a point where what you say means absolutely nothing. You've lost all your credibility. So at that point, I'm just eliminating you, right? Like, I choose to live a certain way. I want to have a certain, you know, level of, you know, spiritual balance and peace and happiness. If you're someone who's disrupting that, then I have all the power to say you have no place in my life. Right? Like, you're gone. Like, I'm not avoiding you. I'm going to eliminate you because you offer nothing. Right? And that's the power that I have. So we can sit here and, you know, not you and I, but I mean, let's just say I was breaking up with someone who, you know, had reached a point where we're just not compatible anymore. and you want to sit there and argue about, you know, how I could do that and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I've reached a point where, like, there's nothing to argue about. Mm. I've recognized that there is no value. And it's okay. Like, I'm not right for you. You're not right for me. It's okay. I want you to go find who's right for you. But this isn't right for me. So there's nothing to talk about. Like, we've already reached the point. Like, you can argue with me, but it's serving no purpose. Like, I'm not listening. It's over. It's okay.
Taking the power back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just been, it's really cool. I mean, if anyone wants to text me, I'll send them cool videos that I created that I haven't really marketed, but of my athletes talking about the power of the things that they've learned and watching what I do with them and listening to them talk about how life-changing it's been, how game-changing it's been, how, like, you won't find this anywhere. It's because for the first time in their lives, they're realizing that they have all the power to create the experience that they want. And for so much of our lives, we've given that power away. And we let people determine how we're supposed to feel about ourselves and our experiences. And it doesn't matter how toxic, we have the power to be like, I'm not letting you take something away from me. No matter what I've been through, it doesn't matter. I have the power to choose to change that. And the power of choice is the greatest power we have.
Love it.
Make a choice.
Well, Chris,
you know what I mean? So if you don't make that choice, you're going to suffer, right? And why would you want to suffer? That's not what life is about. It's not what we're here. We need you to be a contributor. You know, we don't need you suffering. We need you to, like, figure out how to fall in love with yourself so you can contribute to this world and nurture the soil upon which we live. Like, why would you not want to be that person? Let's ride. Let's go.
I love it. Giving us choices that we know that we had, but we didn't really know we had them until you brought that up. Chris, thank you so much for your time. We absolutely love it. We can't wait to talk next week. 805-663-8483. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too, my friend.
Take care.
Chris Thomas here with us, and we always get so much out of this, and I really appreciate the time he sends with us. And it's interesting when you can go and, you know, take advantage of that and eliminate, you know, certain things from our vocabulary as he's done that. But what was going through your mind there 5 minutes ago?
I don't know. I spend a lot of time self-analyzing and just trying to make sure I'm on the right track. And that's why, like, when I argue with you, Vinny,
it's not.
Well, we argue, and it's productive debate. And it's more about me trying to challenge my own viewpoints because I don't have it all figured out. And you could have it figured out for a period of time and life changes and all of a sudden that same calculus doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm just trying to, like, unravel the way that my brain thinks about pretty much everything, but especially just from that point of failure that I'm sure people are really sick of us going over and over again because I'm just trying to get a different angle of it. But that's where I always say you don't need to have, like, the most original idea. You just have to have an adjacent idea. And that's just a reframe and a redefinition. Instead of looking at it as, I don't know what the first word that I said was, but he said elimination instead of avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's like, the last couple years, I feel like I avoid so many responsibilities or so many bad feelings sometimes. And I know I'm not alone in that. And so is it better for me to get more confrontational and punish myself when I'm not putting myself through that rigor? Or do you just, like, keep going down that road? There's just, I don't know. He just reframed something for me, so I'm not really sure what it is. I'm going to have to chew on it for a few days. But I think he adjusted something.
It's like going to a chiropractor.
Yeah, no, exactly that. And so, I don't know. I just like talking to people who challenge and that can, you know, talk back to me in terms of those nuances. Because those echoes in your head, it's hard to not listen to them. And then it's hard to label them and then to define them. Like, is this the one that I'm supposed to listen to? Is this the one I'm not supposed to listen to? Like, which intrusive thoughts are good, right?
And I think with Chris, as somebody that's, I guess, been around and talked to a lot of different people in a lot of different worlds and realms, you know, there's people that could say a lot but say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go back and, you know, with your tape recorder and listen to it and go, he said a lot, but there really isn't anything that he said. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of words, but a whole lot of not so much meaning. With Chris, it's like, bang, like it hits you. Like, there's substance behind what he says, and it's really cool to be able to have him on as a consistent guest. You know what else is consistent? Money. We all need money. Man, the holidays. My wife is already texting me. We got to get our Christmas shopping done, which means we got to spend a lot of money. And that's okay because we love doing it, but it always brings up the point and the reminder that sometimes you need extra money. You need extra cash. And maybe you're in that situation right now. Maybe you've been turned down, or maybe the credit cards are maxed out, or maybe your credit isn't where it needs to be. Don't worry, because every day is Christmas over at decembercash.com, where you could find a lender and get up to $5,000 cash as early as tomorrow. DecemberCash.com. It's safe. It's secure. It's all online. So just remember, if you need some extra cash, just go to DecemberCash.com.
Josh Jacobs burst through the hole and sprinted 63 yards for his longest play of the season.
Raiders Radio Network with the Call Compass Media. Thanks for being with us, Lindsey, Vinny, and Clay. All right, let's do it. We'll go around the room and give you three picks, three teams to choose from. You will be the listener. And when you're caller number nine, you will try to find the winner. Straight up, no point spreads, no totals. We'll give you three games. You go 3-0. You take home the $400. It's all brought to you by Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers in the Fashion Show Mall. Lindsey, yeah! What's your lightning pick?
My lightning pick will be taking place at NRG Stadium at 10 a.m. Pacific time on CBS. Texans hosting the Broncos.
Oh, great game.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard
a conundrum.
To figure that one. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
I think that Texans can score some points, but if you've noticed the recent string of victories for the Broncos, they're keeping those point totals low defensively. So,
oh, awesome game.
We like it.
It is, and I got to go with the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers, which is just
awesome. Great game.
I'm looking forward to it. I guess the bye week couldn't have come at a better time because I'm going to put the fan hat on. And just watch the game as a fan, you know, and not have to worry about what I'm going to write about or what the angle is or walking into a somber locker room. I'm just gonna have some fun and watch this game. And I think it's going to go a long way toward determining who's going to ultimately host that NFC championship game if both teams are involved, which I expect them to be.
And for me, I think another close game on the docket is Colts-Titans, trying to figure out some sort of divisional supremacy there. And that's in Tennessee and Nashville. So here we go, our triumvirate. The Broncos-Texans, 49ers-Eagles, Colts-Texans. Be caller number 9, 702-365-9200. You get a chance to win the $400 from Mike Lee Minden Diamond Jewelers. Go 3-0, and you get hooked up on the morning tailgate.
With a 19-yard touchdown pass to Jacoby Myers.
All right, Raiders Radio Network with the call. It's time for the Pro Pick'em Contest. $400 on the line. Mike Lee Minden Diamond Jewelers Fashion Show Mall hooking you up. All right, we'll go around the room one more time as Adam from Las Vegas is our contestant. Adam, congratulations. You've made it to this round. Good luck to you. Do you feel lucky?
I do. Thank you.
Oh, well, okay. Well, you don't need to get belligerent about it. But, good luck to you, Adam. All right. All right. Lindsay's got her game. Go ahead, Linz.
Yeah, I'm going to be picking that Houston and Denver game. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Texans.
Right on.
Ooh,
I
like it.
Israel.
All right. Biddy's game? The game of the week, perhaps.
The game of the week. What is that, an afternoon game? Eagles, 49ers? Is that the afternoon game?
Or
the
night game?
Yeah, it's the afternoon. Humdinger.
Humdinger. So it'll be Sunday in the earlier window. What do you got?
Let's go with the Niners.
Ooh, spicy. Ooh, hey.
Okay, all right.
Mac Purdy's going to take off, I guess.
We'll see.
Yeah, this could be the moment of truth for young Brock. All right, young fella. Adam, who do you like between Colts and Titans?
I'm going to go Colts.
All right. Texans, 49ers, Colts. You go 3-0. You walk away with $400. Good luck to Adam.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
we'll be
Adam.
Back on the other side, it's Lindsey, Vinny, and Clay as we'll roll on here and wrap up this baby in a bow. It's the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio.
Brings it down. Plenty of time to throw. Now pressure from Coons. Flushes him out. Mahomes trying to get out of the pocket. And he's swung down for a sack. And it's Max Crosby who rolls off of him. And he breaks him over his leg for a sack on third down.
Thanks to Compass Media and Raiders Radio Network with the call. All right, we're back here. Just a few minutes left here. Thanks again for listening and participating in today's show and all throughout the week. We absolutely love it.
Love it.
But it's a week that was. And now we have the weekend to ourselves. What do you do?
Right?
What do you do on a bye week? What do we do on a bye week? I always have to like readjust and remember like, oh yeah, what do I like again?
I have this disturbing vision in my head of Vinny sitting in a recliner just like shirtless with three different TVs of every NFL game going on and just being like, yes. Yes!
That's our happy just vision
one.
For you.
Just
right?
one. I'm
just
not,
one?
I'm not the, I got to lock in on one game.
Fair
I, don't, I don't like the red zone thing and all that. This is too
I don't
much,
either. I want to hear the game commentary.
I like to see I like to see a game play out, you know, not switch to the next hot thing.
Yeah.
But I get why other people love it, which, especially for fantasy football, you know, you're able to keep up better with your picks and whatnot. But no, it's going to be definitely on that 49ers game. Got to see what the other two games, and I got a lot of things to do around the house.
It's Christmas decoration time. You've been putting it off, have you?
Well, Christmas decoration started last night, basically, and
so you guys are a strict post-Thanksgiving household for Christmas decoration.
Well, it's not strict. It's just kind of how it all plays out.
Fair enough.
So I don't think we have a game plan in place. We're not, we're not anal or anything like that. It's just, that's kind of how.
That's when it happens.
Yeah, and the kids definitely love it. They still get into it, which is cool at 18 and 17, or 19, really.
They still believe in Santa?
You know, it's funny because our good friend Jeff Perlman, who's Jewish, mm-hmm. and he always wonders, how do you tell your kids that there's no Santa Claus? And it's like,
what?
It's not that. It's not that.
You don't necessarily have to tell them. They're going to find out on their own, Elsa.
That's a playground revelation.
It is, too.
Yeah, you just, okay. And it's to the point where when you do realize it, it makes all the sense in the world that it's not. So it's not this big, like, I sometimes think that people that don't celebrate Christmas and Santa make such a big deal out of that. It's like, it just happens.
We make a big deal out of Christmas.
What I'm saying is that there's not a Santa Claus. Like, what would you have to sit your kids down and explain? No, they just figure it out.
Yeah, that's the first step into the descent away from your innocence. Because after that, then you start learning about other things in the playground, and that stuff is not appropriate for air.
Right. You have to shed some earlier knowledges.
Correct.
In order to go further and survive on the playground.
Yep.
And my friend J.R. Starkus, he says, in my house, you better, if you want to receive, you better believe. Because mom will make sure that you, right up until you're 90 years old, you will keep believing.
Starkus, the bully with the coonskin cap?
Yes.
That was you? You grew up next to Ralphie?
Oh, man, I tell you, you better believe if you want to receive. Hey, thanks for everybody for participating in today's show. Go up online, check it out on our podcast page at LVSportsNetwork.com. We even have pictures of us on there, as well as all our podcasts on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. For Lindsay, for Vinny, I'm Clay Baker. Thank you for listening. Rich Eisen's next here on Raider Nation Radio.